your host, Michael Cohen, with a Capital City Recap on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
It is 6:34 and we are back. Michael Cohen, producer Andre Holgate with me. Well, Sarah Palin will be in Michigan tomorrow for an event in Belleville, organized in part by the Americans for Prosperity Group of Michigan, to find out what she'll be talking about and what kinds of political roles she's now playing now that she's been out of politics for a while. I'm joined by Scott Hagerstrom. He's the executive director of Americans for Prosperity Michigan. Scott, thanks for joining us on WILS.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Tell me, Scott, how many members does Americans for Prosperity Michigan have at the moment?
Well, nationwide, we have over 2 million, and in Michigan, we're approaching 75,000.
I see. Would you say then you're closely tied to the Tea Party movement?
Well, I think we're much more narrow than the Tea Party. We focus on women in government and economic liberty issues. We don't get involved in Second Amendment rights. We don't get involved in immigration or social issues. So we try to stay very narrowly focused on those things that will help raise our standard of living, raise salaries, bring jobs, bring investment back to Michigan.
I see. No position at all on social issues then, huh?
No, not at all.
I see. Not even a slightly conservative tilt, maybe?
Nope. There's other organizations that focus on a lot of those issues, and we just stay focused on those economic liberty and women in government issues.
I see. Well, you are organizing this event that Sarah Palin is going to be showing up at. And she, in fact, is a social conservative herself, is she not?
Sure, yeah. No matter who we work with, everyone's going to either be a social conservative, moderate, or liberal. She has those views. But we specifically asked her to come and talk about, first, to motivate the activists here in Michigan, and secondly, to talk about the health care, nationalized health care and the state health care exchanges here in Michigan. And third, one thing that she's, her area of expertise is energy and how our country can actually become energy independent when you're talking about our supply of natural gas and coal, and abundant, reliable energy.
Right. What do you think about her morphing, though, into this media star at this point?
Well, you know, certainly she. I understand she does go on Fox News and as a contributor, and I'm not aware of much other of what she's.
Well, she did
right now.
She did a reality show. I actually caught an episode of that up in Alaska. It was kind of fascinating. Well, you know, as Senator John McCain is also going to be in Michigan this weekend, it does bring to mind some of the knowledge holes that came up during her knowledge holes that came up during his presidential campaign. Do some of those instances where she didn't know some facts still linger in your mind?
Not really. I mean, she's not running for president. She's not running for office. She's really just out there to encourage the grassroots, to talk to the grassroots. Her name's not on the ballot. And really, you know, Americans for Prosperity does not endorse candidates. We're really just about the issues, and we focus on the issues, and that's what we've asked her to do when she comes in to Michigan to talk down in Wayne County, down in Belleville at the Wayne County Fairgrounds.
I'm talking to Scott Hagerstrom. He's the executive director of Americans for Prosperity Michigan. Now, I know, Scott, that you strongly oppose the health care law, which she'll likely be discussing yesterday, although, you know, the train is basically leaving the station at this point. Isn't it time for Michigan to at least get on board and establish its own health care exchange rather than having the feds do it for us?
Not really. This is a federal law. State of Michigan is its own government, and just because the feds say jump doesn't mean that we have to say how high. We're our own independent entity, and a lot of people say we need to create these health care exchanges because we'll have some control, and really there is no control. The rules so far that have been promulgated for these state-based health care exchanges are over 613 pages, contain the word shall over 300 times, and contain the word must over 1,000 times, and that's just the beginning. It really gives the illusion of control. Really what's happening is state politicians see federal money as free money, but in fact it's not free money. Part of the reason that we have a problem in this country with the $15 trillion national debt is because we just see out-of-control spending.
Well, what about just the simple nature of the exchange on its own terms, the fact that it's a website that will allow citizens and residents in Michigan to log on and look at different health care options? Is that not a good thing for the average resident?
That is a good thing if it comes about through the private sector, but what's going to happen is only those health care plans that meet all the federal rules and regulations will qualify. to be on that site. And like I said, Department of Health and Human Services on the national level will run and control this. And the rules that are already promulgated contain the word must over 1,000 times and the word shall over 300. So it's really not independent. So I really think we need to take a close look at these and think about what we're doing. Do we want to be complicit in doing what the federal government tells us to do? Or do we want to stand up and say, no, we're an independent government. We're co-equal with the federal government as a state. It's the United States of America. And just because the federal government says jump, we don't have to jump. The Supreme Court has said many times that, you know, if you take the bribe money, you got to do what they say. But if you don't take the bribe money, you don't have to do what they say.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds. Now, you know, one of the names or two of the names that come up when we talk about Americans for Prosperity are these billionaire Koch brothers. They're widely known as the primary financial backers of your organization. Is that in fact the case? And how do you respond to concerns that you've got these billionaires backing your organization?
You know, we have over 90,000 donors across the country. We have over 3,000 donors right here in Michigan. And, you know, we don't disclose our list of who those donors are, but certainly it's a great number. We've passed the market test and the sheer number of people that are donating to the cause. And really, this is about the issues of limited government and economic liberty, and it's something that joins a lot of people across the spectrum. And just thankful that we live in a free country where freedom of speech and people can speak for their donations and their time and energy.
Let me ask you this. Is there a limit, though, to how limited our government should be? I mean, do you find every social program, federal social program that's in place, to be one that we should get rid of?
Oh, no, we're not. We're just right now just trying to get our fiscal house in order. I mean, you're talking huge yearly budget deficits, $15 trillion and going higher every day on the federal level. Here in Michigan, we have over $23 billion in state debt that we're paying on. And we want to get our fiscal house in order.
So the idea, the limits, though, should they be directed towards social programs, Medicare, Medicaid, and so on, or should we maybe look at things like defense spending?
We believe that everything should be looked at. Everything should be on the table. And, you know, a lot of people just want to talk about cutting foreign aid to foreign countries, and we certainly believe that should be on the table. But, you know, that's about $10 to $15 billion the last time I checked. It may be higher now. But you have to look at everything. You have to look at defense. You have to look at social programs. You have to look at Medicaid. You have to look at Social Security. And, you know, we're on a pathway. We're not on a good path. Mm. And we don't want to go the way of Greece, of Ireland, and Spain. And we need to just start to balance our books.
Well,
like every family does across the country.
Let me ask you about what's happening here in Michigan. Are you pleased with what Governor Snyder and Republicans have been doing when it comes to the budget, the way money's been allocated, and the cuts that they made in the past year?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a mixed bag. It's been a mixed bag. You know, there's some long-term changes that have needed to be made and are in the process of being made in terms of tens of billions of dollars in long-term legacy costs for retirement and for health care costs that we have to get those in line, and they passed some legislation that will get those in line. But at the same time, you know, we have a budget for 2013 that is $1.6 billion higher than the 2012 budget, and this is under all Republican control. We have a governor that came in and did away with the tax credit for the movie industry, but then turned around and for 2013 has put $50 million in there to give out grants to people making movies. So, you know, it's a different philosophy, but it's still giving out pork to movie studios.
Well, let me ask you, though, what about cuts, though, that affect needy families? We've seen reductions in the weeks of unemployment, cuts made to our social welfare programs here in the state. How do you view that and the impact it has on families that are really struggling here in the state?
Yeah, you know, they have made some changes. I think they put the 48-month limit on welfare. They've made some changes to the unemployment structure. We had billions and billions of dollars in debt on the unemployment, which is going to burden our employers into the future. So there needed to be changes. And government does need to provide a social net. However, it cannot go on. It just cannot be an endless social net that goes on forever. At some point, there's a limit, and there's only so much there that that can be provided. And right now, there's some hard decisions being made, and I know there's people out there that may not agree with those, but the fact is the money has to come from somewhere. Already $40 to $50 billion in legacy costs to government employees.
Mm-hmm.
These all have to be dealt with, and we have to make changes everywhere. But I certainly would say that, you know, maybe the $50 million grants in next year's budget to movie studios should be cut. One of the first things should be cut before we're cutting some of the social welfare programs.
But what about the Democrats' argument here in the state that there were cuts made in education, there was a tax instituted on pensions, all in the sake of a tax cut for businesses? Is that an argument that you agree with? That are they making a valid point there in your mind?
You know, I agree with them halfway. We had one of the worst business tax in the country, and it's certainly something that had to be dealt with, because if we want to bring new investment, we need new investment so that we can have jobs, good paying jobs here in the state. So we did need to deal with our business taxes and wonderful reform that they did in bringing down business taxes. However, the solution was Governor Snyder's solution was to become much more reliant on the state income tax. And we're competing with nine states that have no state income tax. Governor Granholm worked with the legislature and had a temporary increase in the income tax from 3.9 to 4.35%. And under the law, that was coming back down. Hmm. And Governor Snyder and the legislature froze that at 4.25%. That was a permanent 9% income tax increase on every single working family in the state. And we don't believe that was the right direction to go in.
You think the state government could operate with even less money at this point?
Well, I think we need to have more reforms. I mean, there's things like prevailing wage and other things that they could be looking at instead of soaking the working families of the state.
Hmm.
We have to provide relief to businesses to attract new investment and to grow the economy here. Because we are competing with 49 other states, we're competing with other countries, and we had one of the worst business taxes in the country. But we also have to make sure that we don't move that burden over to the working families of the state and instead look for efficiencies. You know, several years ago, the Mackinac Center did a study, and in implementing prevailing wage would save over $232 million in the state. So there's a lot of reforms like that that we believe that need to be looked at, instead of first turning to Michigan families to pay higher income tax.
Okay, well, as I let you go, you don't endorse a candidate, but you'd certainly prefer, and your group would prefer to see a President Romney over President Obama in office. Is that not the case?
No, not at all. I mean, the American people are going to make a decision on November 7th, and whoever they decide to bring in, we will continue to push for policies of limited government and economic liberty. We'll continue to ask grassroots activists across the state and across this country to contact their U.S. congressmen, their U.S. senators, and the president, and ask them to implement policies that reduce the role and size of government.
Let me ask you this, though, because we only have about 30 seconds left. Do you think the country would take a dramatically different direction under a President Romney versus where we've been heading with President Obama?
You know, he suggests that when he speaks. But our organization, at least here in Michigan, our experience is that we have to spend most of our time beating up on Republicans, because they say one thing when they run for office, but then when they get in office, we got to hold them to what they said. They run as conservatives, but then when they get in office, they a lot of times do something different. So under what he's saying that we definitely move in a different direction under Romney. However, I think the people out there need to look very closely at what all the candidates for every office are saying, and really ask some hard questions.
Hopefully they'll answer those hard questions.
Yes.
Scott Hagerstrom, Executive Director of the Americans for Prosperity of Michigan. They are organizing an event tomorrow. Sarah Palin coming to the state. Scott, thanks for joining us on WILS.
Great. Thank you. Appreciate it.
We'll be right back to talk to the author of the book, A Teenager's Guide to Becoming a Millionaire. Is he going to write a sequel, The Middle-Aged Guy's Guide to Becoming a Millionaire? Hopefully so. We'll get some of his secrets next. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.